Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Before we turn to the catechism, we read from Scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Upon this and many other passages of Scripture that the Catechism bases its teaching in Lord's Day 42, questions and answers 110 and 111. We read those at this time. What doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. But what doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor. In every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, just last week, someone broke into the church, probably causing perhaps hundreds of dollars worth of damage for a mere $50 or so worth of goods. And maybe we sit this morning thinking, wouldn't it be nice if that person could hear this sermon about stealing? If anybody needs to hear it, it would be them. How dare they break into a church of all places? Or we might think about other kinds of thievery that goes on these days. People committing credit card fraud or auto mechanics charging more than the work they actually did. False advertisements. Or people stealing stolen goods online. Theft is all around us. But as we hear the explanation of the eighth commandment this morning, we need to hear God's word to us, beloved, saying, "Thou art the man." Not just somebody else is guilty of theft. Not just the world around me, but I am guilty of stealing. And therefore I must flee to the cross and seek forgiveness in the blood of the cross and seek strength in the cross so that I may walk in God's ways. We are all guilty of stealing. Students steal when they cheat on tests. Children steal when they sneak a dessert that was not meant for them. Workers steal when they falsify how many hours they worked or when they don't give their employer an honest day's worth of work. Unions steal by forcing employers to pay higher wages. And employers steal when they don't pay a fair wage for the labor that their employees give. But the greatest portion of stealing doesn't happen when we take what is not ours. It happens when we fail to give that which we owe. God says in Romans 13, verse 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." I owe it to my neighbor that I promote his advantage in every instance that I can or may. I owe that to him. And when I fail to promote the advantage of my neighbor, I have stolen from him. I have not given what I owed. When I could have helped my neighbor, but instead I wasted my time, then I have stolen from my neighbor. Not only must I love my neighbor, God says, love the Lord thy God, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And yet every time I withhold that love, when I fail to love God as I ought to love God, I have stolen from God. When I could have brought an offering, but I kept the money that was earned, when I kept that for my own selfish purposes, I have stolen from God. When I came into the sanctuary this morning without properly preparing myself, then I have stolen from God the honor that I ought to have given to Him. And so as we stand before God's perfect law this morning, we need to see, beloved, not just that we have sinned against God in this or that way, but we need to see our sinful natures, that we have not just broken one or two of God's commandments, but we have broken all of the law of God. Because when we see that, then we will look to Christ to forgive us. When we see our sins and sinfulness, then we will look outside of ourselves for salvation in Jesus Christ. And when we understand the gift of free grace that is ours, then the commandments, including the eighth commandment, will be to us not a burden, but then it will be to us a rule to show our thankfulness for all that God has given to us. This is the way that I want to glorify God. God calls us to love our neighbor also as regards his possessions. That's the idea of the verse that we read in Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let's consider the truth of Scripture under that theme then, loving our neighbor as regards his possessions. Let's note our calling to stewardship, our calling that involves, therefore, not stealing, but then also giving. Loving our neighbor as regards his possessions. Beloved, if you and I are going to keep, if we are going to observe the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, the first thing we have to do is understand the principle behind that law, and that principle is God is the owner of all things. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The earth belongs to Jehovah. Everything in the world belongs to Jehovah. The mountains and the prairies, the lakes and the streams, the clouds and the rain, the oceans and the sky, everything. The grass and the trees, every beast of the field, the gold and the silver, as well as the paper notes that governments print. All of those things belong to Jehovah because He made it. He made the creation and He upholds the creation. And that means I may never say, in competition with God's ownership, I may never say, mine. It's true, there is a certain principle of ownership and rights that we ought to observe and recognize in our earthly dealings. If my neighbor tries to steal my car, I may say to that neighbor, that's not yours, it's mine, I paid for it. Some of the catechism students learned on Saturday about two women who came to Solomon, each of them saying, this is my baby. And one of them had a legal right to say that, a legitimate claim to say, this baby belongs to me, in a certain sense. I may say to my neighbor, that's mine, when I have a legitimate right to that good or object. But I may never say, that to God. I may never say to God, this is not your money. This is my money. I earned it. I worked for it. And I'm going to do what I want to do with it. I may never say that to God. Why may I not say mine? Because even though God put it in my hand, He never said, God never says, here's this money, now it's all yours, you can do whatever it is you want to do with it, with no limits whatsoever, it's yours. God never says that. Our flesh would like to say that. Our flesh would like to say, this is my body, it belongs to me, I can do what I want to do with it. Our flesh would like to say, this is my time. I will spend it how I please. This is my money. But God says, it's His. Everything is His. Once we get that principle straight, beloved, then we ought to be ready to say, Lord, since all these things belong to Thee, how wilt Thou have me use them? That's what stewardship is all about. God gives us, He puts certain things in our hands, He entrusts certain things to us, He gives us goods and money and children and spouses. He gives us time and abilities and health. And then the question is, how does God want me to use those things? Does God ever say, here it is, do whatever you want? God doesn't say that. When Jesus told the parable of the talent, the master gave 5 talents to one and 2 talents to another and 1 talent to another. Did that master care how those servants used the talents that he had entrusted to him? Of course he did. He called them all to account. God cares what we do with those things that he has entrusted to us. And how does He want us to use those things? God entrusts us with money and time and talents. How does He want us to use those things? To the glory of His name. Whether I eat or drink or whatsoever I do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's what stewardship is about. Why would I want to be a steward of God? Of the gifts that He has entrusted because of Christ's work of redemption. God not only owns me by virtue of creation, that should be enough, but he owns me by virtue of redemption, by the precious ransom that Jesus Christ paid for me. He has purchased us by that poured out blood. He bought us out of slavery in order that we might serve Him. In order that we might be free from that bondage to serve Him. Now I belong. I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, unto my faithful Savior. If I belong in my body to Jesus Christ, then it matters. Then my body, I can't just do what I want with it. It matters. Christ has a say what I put into my body. I belong to Him in my body. If I belong to Him in my soul, it matters how I feed myself spiritually and what kind of spiritual junk food from the world I put into my soul. It matters because I don't belong to myself. If I belong to my faithful Savior in life, then every second that He gives me life is His. And if I belong to Him in death, then when He calls me, when He tells me, your time is drawing to an end in this world, then I don't say to Him, I want my life back. I want to live my life yet. No, then I submit myself to Him. I belong to my faithful Savior. Stewardship runs exactly counter to the principle of selfishness that is ours by nature. Selfishness is that principle that works apart from Jesus Christ. Whether we find ourselves in a democracy or a dictatorship, selfishness rules. Whether we are employers or employees apart from Christ, selfishness rules. Capitalists or communists, doesn't matter. Selfishness rules by nature. But stewardship flows out of the gospel. The gospel of salvation by grace leads to stewardship because the gospel says, I belong to my faithful Savior. And if I belong to Jesus Christ and I'm no longer under bondage, then I want to serve my Savior. Then I want to be a steward. If we belong to Jesus Christ, we are no longer under bondage to the principle of selfishness. Oh yes, selfishness is there. It will rear its ugly head, but it doesn't have dominion. It cannot force me only to be selfish. If we live out of the principle of redemption in Jesus Christ, then rather than being ruled by that principle of selfishness, rather than being ruled by money, God gives us the grace to rule over our money as stewards of all that He has given us. Stewardship is about giving back to God in thankfulness for what He has done for us. What a beautiful thing God has given to us. Now I want to serve Him in thankfulness. We find a beautiful description of that stewardship in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David had just thanked God for the willing offerings that people had given for the building of the temple. And then he goes on to say this. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? You see the privilege that David counts it, that they are able to offer. What a privilege to serve God. And then he goes on and he says, for all things come of thee. And of thine own have we given thee. It's as if there was a pile of gold over there that was God's, and the people went and took that and said, here is something for the temple. They took from what was God's already to give back to God. For all things come of thee, of thine own. That which belonged to God, of that have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name. Where does it come from? Cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. The privilege of giving to God what was already his. That's stewardship. Every dollar that we have is from God. And what a privilege then to give back to God what was and actually is still his. One day God will call us to give an account for our stewardship. How will he find that we have spent that which he has given us? All the gifts. Even though God has redeemed us from bondage to sin and Satan, even though he has made us his stewards, servants of Jesus Christ, we all know, beloved, that we have only a small beginning of that stewardship. Salvation in Jesus Christ does not mean that now I have made you stewards and therefore you will be perfect stewards. Fact is, we still have hearts that don't want to give that which belongs to others. We want to keep it for ourselves and we want to take away from others that which belongs to them. Things that don't belong to us. And the preaching of the law should show us that. It should show us our sinful nature so that we say, I am still a sinner and I am still prone to steal from my neighbor. And then we will flee. We ought to flee to the cross for a covering. Every time we see ourselves stealing again, then we flee again to the cross for a covering of our guilt. And we flee there, seeking for grace, that we would walk in God's ways. Let him that stole steal no more. That's our desire. I don't want to steal anymore. The Catechism gives three categories of stealing. It spends the most time on the first category of stealing. And the first of those categories is when we get things for ourselves wrongly. We take things for ourselves wrongly. The second one is that we possess things in the wrong way. And that has to do with the covetousness that the Catechism mentions at the end of question and answer 110. And then lastly is how we use the things that God has given to us, the abuse and waste of his gifts. God forbids, says the Catechism. This is the first category that we get things for ourselves in a wrong way. God forbids not only the thefts and robberies, which are punishable by the magistrate, but He comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves, to get for ourselves, to obtain for ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor. Doesn't matter how we do it. Those goods belong to our neighbor. Then it goes and gives some examples, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights or ells. Ells is a measure of length used for cloth. Unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God. We need to see about ourselves, beloved, how it is that we seek to obtain those goods that rightly belong to our neighbor. One of the hardest things to do when we are selling something to a neighbor, if I'm selling my car to my neighbor, one of the hardest things to do is to tell the buyer, by the way, this car has been in an accident before. Because I know if I tell him that, he immediately, perhaps not immediately, but soon will turn around and say, okay, thank you very much, I'm not interested. Or he may say, well then, I'm not going to give nearly as much as you're asking. I don't want to tell my neighbor about the defects. I don't want to tell him that it leaks oil, because I know that then he will want to pay me less. That's hard to tell the truth. But if I don't, if I misrepresent the vehicle, here it is, look at, it's a great car, no problems, then I'm stealing under the appearance of right. How much better to be honest, to say, here's all the problems, I'm being up front, but here's the price that I want. Here's what I think is fair. That's hard. If I take a job, my flesh doesn't want to do as much as I ought to do in that job. It's my flesh wants to work as little as possible to get as much as possible. That's what my flesh wants. But if I take a job and I don't do an honest amount of labor in exchange for what my employer is paying me, that's stealing. As much as if I went into the cash box and took money out of the cash box, it's stealing not to give the labor that I owe. I'm getting my neighbor's goods without giving the work that is due in exchange. Children, if you cheat by using somebody else's answer on a test, you are taking credit for yourself for an answer that was not yours. That's stealing. And the possibilities are endless. God calls us to examine ourselves. How is it? What ways am I trying to get those things that belong to my neighbor? I'm trying to make it my own. Not only do we sin in the way we get things from our neighbor, we also sin in the way we possess things that God has given us. We often possess what God has given us with a covetous heart. As also all covetousness. We can be so frugal at times, beloved, that we don't want to share We don't want to share of the abundance that God has given us. We want to keep it all for ourselves. And then maybe when I see someone who is truly needy, I fail to help them. Why? Because, well, I've got my own time to worry about. I've got my own goods to worry about. And then I'm guilty of failing to give to my neighbor the love that I owe to my neighbor. I'm not saying that we have to give money to a drunkard or a drug addict so that he can go and hurt himself with that money. But those who are truly needy, we ought to help, especially in the body of Christ. When we see someone who is needy, we ought to be willing to give of our time and money to help those who are needy. God calls us to love our neighbor. Give to your neighbor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. We owe to our neighbor love. And yet, we don't love our neighbor as we ought to. We are selfish. I want to spend some time for myself. And then I fail to love my spouse or my children or my brothers or sisters. Why? Because I want something for me. If I hold on to my paycheck so tightly, God gives me that paycheck. I hold on to it so tightly that I refuse to give a generous portion back to God, then I am stealing from God. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. The eighth commandment forbids that kind of covetousness in our hearts. And lastly, we can be guilty of stealing when we use the things God has given us in a wrong way. All abuse and waste of gifts is stealing. God gives us certain things and we throw them away when we could have used them profitably. Abuse and waste of His gifts. God makes us stewards. We can waste our money on things that we don't need. Absolutely have no need whatsoever for those things. We can throw our money away. We might waste our time on vain pursuits. Video games is one example, but we all can pursue vain things. Wasting our time, valuable time. We can waste our talents when we do not use them to the fullest of our ability. Gambling and the lottery would be examples of using that which God has given us, using our money wrongly. Instead of working diligently, expecting God to bless us in the way of our diligent labor, we're asking God, essentially, in His providence, to bless us in the way of greed and laziness. There's so many ways, beloved, that we steal from our neighbor and from God. And does not the law again show us how we need to flee to the cross? How we need to cover our guilt of thieving. As with all the commandments, when God forbids something, He also requires something. The Catechism brings that out. So when God calls us to flee from theft and all forms of theft, He also requires us to give That's question and answer 111. That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may. Sometimes I cannot because I don't have the means. Sometimes I may not because I have other obligations, and that would make me guilty of not fulfilling that obligation. But the question is, am I promoting the advantage of my neighbor as I have opportunity? Am I dealing with my neighbor the way I would? And here's a wonderful test of how we are giving to our neighbor. Am I dealing with my neighbor the way I would like others to deal with me? That's the golden rule. Would, if I was in his position, what would I like to be done? How would I want to be treated? And then, lastly, when God calls us not to steal, He calls us, in order to be able to give, He calls us to work. Further, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Let him that stole steal no more. It's not enough just to stop there, however, to say, well, I was stealing, now I'm not stealing anymore. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give, that he may have to give to him that needeth. When I faithfully labor, now I'm going to be able to help my neighbor. If I say, well, I'm not hurting anybody by not working, you are losing the opportunity to help your neighbor. How many causes we could give to in the church to help our neighbor. God wants us to be diligent laborers. Why? So that we may glorify Him as stewards. And here again, do we not see only a small beginning? Yet we ought to see, beloved, how Christ Himself thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He was God Himself, and yet He gave up those riches. Why did He do it? So that He could give us life. So that He could make us His precious possession, so that we could serve Him and glorify Him, for He is worthy. That's where our treasure ought to be in this world, in Jesus Christ, in heavenly things, not in earthly things. The earthly is but a means to glorify God. May God grant to us that we find all our treasure in Him. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and grace towards us. We thank Thee for giving to us salvation in Jesus Christ. May we also be those who give of ourselves to serve Thee in all of our lives. Forgive us where we have stolen from our neighbor and from Thee, and grant to us the grace that we may give. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.